Welcome to ILTA's Fall 2015 Ask the Expert podcast series, where we're talking about how to make a remote workforce work. I'm Christy Cole with ILTA, and today Paul Wittekin has joined us. Paul is the Director of Information Technology Services at Porzio, Bromberg, and Newman PC. Thank you for being here, Paul.
Well, thank you, Christy. I'm glad to participate.
I'd like to start by asking, what best practices or policy changes should organizations implement when moving toward a mobile workforce model?
That's a good question, and my perspective will be coming from a mid-sized firm with approximately 100 attorneys and approximately 150 support staff. That number obviously varies. What we have found for our organization, in terms of policy changes on the technology side, those probably have equal footing with whatever human resources or personnel policies also would accompany this type of remote workforce model. We want to make sure that on the IT side, we had ample support available and also ample appropriate support available for persons who are working remotely. Even though it may not seem to be a major issue in terms of technology support with the tools that we have, you have remote video conferencing, remote control. But we have found on the technology side, in terms of policies, we need to make sure that our support desk was able to recognize some of the nuances and differences in supporting remote users. So one of the policies would be making sure that people have actually met with the folks they'll be supporting remotely. By ensuring that they're able to meet with them and get to know them, that builds a level of familiarity that makes remote support a lot easier. And that was really a best practice that we came across after some trial and error. And once we began making sure there was that initial contact between the remote workers and the people who will be supporting them, that really eased that transition and made supporting them a lot easier.
What data and other reasoning can be used to convince firm management that allowing people to work remotely will actually work?
There are two components to that. One would be on the managerial side and just showing the organization or its upper management, the persons who actually would approve and support a remote working policy, that there can be adequate managerial supervision. And part of that is ensuring that there's technology to support that type of managerial supervision. So, for example, even though we did not do this, there are tools that enable organizations to track and find and actually know that persons are working throughout the day, because it has to be a level of trust. And hopefully the culture is such that you can trust your people to be putting in a full day and that the managers of those persons will have the data they need and frankly the confidence that the persons are working productively. But there are tools out there that will allow you to track and, even though it may sound a bit like Big Brother, show that the individuals who are working remotely are truly engaged. And that type of data, or I'll say tools, really gives some confidence to management that, you know what, if we do have a question or a concern about someone's productivity, and we really want to have something perhaps more concrete, more quantitative than just, well, I can trust that individual and I can see their work output, there are those technology tools that will give that additional data. Also, too, ensuring that your support team is comfortable supporting remote users, remote workers. And one of the ways of doing that is to demonstrate that certainly during the past, say, 4 to 5 years, your support team has assisted persons working remotely at home during non-business hours. So not the standard remote working policy, but more what we expect when we support attorneys and other individuals during weekends, during evening hours. And if you can show that you had appropriate and trusted support resources during those periods, you can then leverage that to show that, okay, we have that expertise. We could support these persons. Now let's expand and show that we can, in fact, support people who are working their normal 9 to 5 or 8 to 6 working from home. That type of information inspires confidence and also makes it more likely that management will support a decision for a remote workforce.
Let's switch gears here a bit. If you think about the ideal work environment of the future, does everyone work from home with the law firm maintaining a small office space? Will the large downtown office remain? What does your perfect picture for long-term success look like?
Well, picture perfect vision would be that everyone is connected collaboratively with immediate presence ability, i.e. you can video conference anyone who's working remotely. That obviously, in terms of having a high quality experience like that, that can take some planning and some investment. That directly ties into what a firm's vision of a perfect remote workforce would be and where we would evolve in the next 3, 4, or 5 years. Because you could have workers who are working remotely, but who really aren't engaged with the business. And depending upon the type of worker, that might be not a good thing. They may need to feel that sense of involvement, of engagement. And if you have the appropriate presence and video conferencing technology available, you can offer that. But if you don't, you might not be able to offer that. And that would in turn drive the vision of a perfect workplace for that firm. Because in that case, you may have only a smaller percentage who are working remotely. What we're finding is that more and more people don't need to have a physical office to work. And firms will be at different points on their evolution towards that future. Some firms are very electronically oriented, where you really have everything that you need available electronically, which means it's available from home if you're at a cafe or if you're on the road. Other firms may not be as far along on that path. So I think in part, it depends upon what a firm's plans are for its technology in terms of making the matter record be a truly electronic matter record. Now, the firm has that vision, and it really is taking steps to either aggressively or perhaps, you know, more moderately move towards that future reality. Then I say the perfect vision is that anyone can select where they want to work. And it depends upon the individual's role. It depends upon the type of clients that individual is supporting. Frankly, attorneys support clients remotely as it is. If they're in the office right now, the client's not there with them. They're supporting that client, in a sense, remotely. There's really no difference if the attorney is working in her office in an established physical space or if they're at home or on the road. It shouldn't make a difference to the client. I think for the most part, it's already transparent to most clients. So I would say that really the perfect picture is that you have implemented systems that would allow the attorneys and the administrative personnel to really determine what works best for them. That's not a prescription. I'm not saying that you should have 25% of your people working remotely and 75% in a traditional office, but more that you've provided a platform so that however your firm evolves, that platform can support the appropriate remote workers, because practices change. And over the course of 5 years, a firm's practice may change such that it drives their decisions about what is an appropriate remote workforce.
We've touched on a few things so far, but what else needs to change for law firms to create a better enabled remote workforce?
Beyond the need of really ensuring that you have the appropriate platform to support whatever direction your firm is going in, I don't know there is much else. And that may sound sort of open-ended, granted a bit broad stating, you know, the appropriate technological platform. But I think what is needed to change is firms to recognize that they're not wedded to physical space. And to the extent that the concept of an office or my office or her office or our office influences any of your technology decisions, you need to pull back a bit and look and think, okay, with this decision, even if it's not overt all the time, this concept of a physical office is affecting how I make a technology decision. And there are many, many things that can go into that, and I'm not going to try to list or itemize all of them. But if you consciously make an effort to detect any time that the nature of a physical space affects your technology decision, I think that's, you know, the change that is needed. Because once you've made that change and you're in that mindset, then you will start developing a platform that can meet whatever direction your firm goes in. Because each firm is going to have a different vision, a different model, and frankly, different requirements for a remote workforce.
One last question for you. How do you maintain the same level of productivity and collaboration with a remote workforce as compared to when everyone works in the office?
I think what's critical to that would be appropriate video conferencing technology. And it has to be reliable and fairly high quality. I know that it's very tempting and certainly appealing on the expense side to think that some of the consumer grade video conferencing technology is sufficient to collaborate with and to keep a remote worker engaged. I don't necessarily agree with that. If it's not high quality, and even though the initial thought might be, well, this will do for the time being, it really won't do for the long term. You need to make sure that people appreciate that you're making an investment to keep them engaged. One of the things that we have implemented, and we have a number of attorneys who primarily work remotely, and this is a non-technology piece of it, you need to make sure that you schedule periodic visits to your office. It sounds fairly simple, but make sure that you have a set schedule so that person is physically present in your office X number of days per month or a certain number of days per quarter. And that is completely technology independent. It sets a schedule. It sets an expectation. It also provides an opportunity, again, for the remote workers to meet with people in IT who are supporting them. And they can have a dialogue. They can have a discussion about any questions you may have, things that you've experienced that you really haven't alerted us to. But if we know about them, we can try to make your experience better. It's very tricky because I think it's very easy to feel disengaged if you're working remotely for 5 days a week when you're used to being in an office with people. And you very often lose a lot of that just day-to-day interaction, spontaneous interaction. And again, tying into be it video conferencing tools, instant messaging tools, anything that helps to continue those relationships is a benefit. Also, I think people who are more familiar with a lot of the social media tools, with instant messaging, with that type of chatting, which would be perhaps more likely people who are coming out of law school now or people who are coming out of colleges and going into administrative positions at firms, they're very familiar with that. So for those individuals, it may not be as jarring to be, quote, disconnected and working remotely. I think if you're looking to transition existing employees who are used to a work environment, I would say doing due diligence after the fact, after they move to working from home or from a shared office space or something other than their normal physical space, checking with them periodically and be aggressive and ask what additional tools might you need. And also you have to think yourself, what additional tools can we provide to ensure we have that level of collaboration? That is critical. I don't know that the tools are really perfect yet. You know, there's always a possibility that there will be occasional glitches. But for the most part, if you look at what's available now, you have a pretty good shot at keeping people engaged.
That brings today's podcast to a close. So thank you, listeners. Please tune in next time. And Paul, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, I'm very thankful to have been asked. I really appreciate this opportunity.